You're listening to Youth Voice on 90.7 KFPR Adventurous Radio.
We're the bomb.
Our show is all magic.
Youth Voice is in effect, yo.
You're listening to Youth Voice on 90.7 KFPR.
Hey out there, this is Jay, your producer du jour, and I'm here to bring you another fabulous episode of Youth Voice here on KSCR-FM Community Radio. Ain't that right, Troy?
You know what? That's exactly right.
Well, you know, I try to stay modest about it.
The producer du jour!
Well,
I like that!
Thank you. Out of it myself.
It's like soup, but not soup.
Soup, but a producer soup.
But a producer soup.
Yeah.
That's what our show is like. Our show is like a stew. It's a community stew.
A stew of community of youth.
It is. It's like a pinch of this, a pinch of that. Hey, don't pinch me. Welcome to Youth Voice. You know what? I've been gone for 2 weeks.
You've been gone for 2 weeks?
You know, the first week, I actually had to go travel and visit my family.
Your family?
It was Easter. My mother was flying in from parts far, far away, and I had to meet with her. I hadn't seen her for a long time, so I got to hang out with my mother. And then the next week I had to fly out to California for an emergency training. It was an emergency, Jay.
What?
I like to keep you on your toes because you weren't paying attention. See, it was an emergency, I was saying.
Okay, yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that you should deal with an emergency in a sane and safe manner.
Did you think I handled that well?
I thought you handled it okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think would cause such a thing?
A big crisis.
Really? That's usually what causes a big emergency. But,
yeah.
I mean, what do you think they could have done to avoid that?
Been more careful. Been responsible and honest and caring and obedient or whatever.
And caring.
Caring.
Oh, Jay, I like to give you a bad time. See, Jay wasn't listening, and he didn't know that I was talking about the fact that I had to go to an emergency training last week, so I missed out on the show, but I'm here to help facilitate us into a whole new topic.
He's our token adult.
I am the token adult, and I got to say thank you to Nate Dogg for holding things together. He is the glue of this organization, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Smell it.
Will you smell it? The glue? What kind of glue is that? Anyway, so... do me a favor and turn on the standing microphone if it isn't on.
It's on.
Great. And then turn my headphones up. And Lena.
Mm-hmm.
Lena was the inspiration for today's topic. Today's topics, rather. It's like a topic in a topic in a topic.
Like a hot pocket.
A hot pocket of topic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So now, Lena, you had an experience this last week that involved carting you and a bunch of other smelly teens down to Olympia.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, we all really were smelly by the end of the week.
Yeah.
By the end of every day, we were really smelly because we were, like little mini politicians for YMCA Youth and Government, for the youth legislature.
That's right.
For 3-4 days, we kind of took over the Capitol. Went down there. The previous 6 months, there were 216 bills, acts, memorials, amendments that were written and prepared and sent in and put in a bill book. And then we pretty much took them down to Olympia.
And you basically took over the Capitol.
We were like a mock legislature. How it worked was that we went through committee. Each bill went through committee, like different, like education extracurricular, social policy, taxations, all the different committee, every different kind of bill that was written was taken through committee and either passed or failed, defended like it would be in the Senate or on the floor, passed or failed, and then prioritized. So the top, I guess, three bills from each committee made it so that it would be prioritized to hear on the floor, either the Senate or the House. So pretty much we acted as the real legislature, but that only the top three bills that passed throughout the entire week would be heard on the real state legislature floor.
Well, here's my question. How did you determine if they were top?
Committee voted.
Okay. Got it. Now, so a total of 216 memorials, acts, amendments, and bills were created?
Yeah, they were written. Amendments, sometimes they would... People would look through the RCW, and if you don't know what that is, that's Revised Code of Washington, and would just amend a bill. As were some of the most controversial bills or acts or memorials or amendments that were made. And I don't know, I guess 450 students were involved in this, and it was amazing to me. It was my first year, and I've never been a part of anything that kind of motivational. It was really awesome. It was really awesome.
So when you hear, as a person who's never been myself, I've heard many wonderful things about it, but I have not personally been to see these things in action. Is it run like it would be really run? Do the activities that you go through, is it typical of what a legislator or a lobbyist
I would say
or
so,
page?
If not more. Yeah.
More, what do you mean?
Meaning like when our, I don't know if you watch C-SPAN like I do.
Yes, I
do. But some of
riveting.
The, I mean, we were required, there was, the sergeant at arms made, we had a dress code that had to be met, meaning it was like being in church. We had to follow like rules and regulations. We needed to look appropriate. You were exited off the floor or out of the wings or out of the Capitol if you weren't meeting those requirements.
Were there people who were removed for inappropriate
yeah.
behavior
yes,
in dress?
Were.
Oh, really?
For chewing gum. I thought it was really what made the experience worthwhile because there was no room for just saying I'm a kid, because when you're representing, you know, the Washington State Youth in the Capitol building, you can't like use I'm just a kid as an excuse.
Very interesting. Any real challenges that you experienced while you're out there?
Oh yeah, figuring one of the hardest things for me was separating politics from personal life. When you step into the chambers, you can be as defensive as you want. You can, you know, throttle someone if you want. But when you step out of those chambers and you have to go back to your host families and you have to ride in the car with a bunch of people who may not be as liberal or as conservative as you want, you know, who do not share the same political views as you, it's hard not to bring that out. And which probably made it a little more exciting, too, was figuring how to separate the two. So how to
not take that stuff personal and
yeah, and how to interact with people separately in a different way, you know.
Very interesting. So you guys would go into what session? Is that what they called it? You would sit
yeah.
down and debate the finer points of these individual amendments or bills and
yes. Yeah, so for the people who were elected into a House or a Senate, I was a lobbyist this year. So if a representative wrote a bill, it would be in the House. It would start in the House. If a senator wrote a bill, it would be in the Senate. And first it passes through committee, and then it goes to either House or the Senate, and it passes through there when prioritized. And then it switches over, so that a House bill would go to the Senate, and the Senate bill would go to the House, and vice versa. And
how is it determined which goes to which?
When it passes. If it passes through the House, then it goes to the Senate.
Oh, no, I understand that. But how is it determined what goes to
the Senate?
Oh,
the person who writes the bill, depending on who wrote the bill. If a representative wrote the bill, it goes to the House.
And why the distinction? What's the difference between the two?
Well, because a senator is in the Senate, and if they wrote the bill, it starts in the Senate.
Got it. Well, now, the issues that they covered were very, very interesting and weren't that far off from what you think. I mean, if you were to sit down and imagine the issues that kids would want to tackle as issues that they identified as being important to our society and our culture, these are some pretty, pretty powerful issues.
Oh, yeah. They were – it was one of the most intense 4 days of my life. I actually got sick on the last night during the governor's ball, because I became so passionate about several bills that I put all my time and all my energy. We were in session from 8 in the morning, and sometimes we didn't get home until 11. That's a 13-hour day. And, you know, you get about 2 hours for lunch and 2 hours for dinner. But other than that, you're really focused. I mean, some people chose not to be that involved, but I was really focused and really like, oh, wow, I've got a lot to say, and I'm going to say, you know, I got sick and I almost threw up on last night, and just because of all the physical kind of and not sleeping a lot and drinking a lot of coffee, it was
definitely a strain. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, but it was great, and I think that's how everyone felt, was that it was worth the amount of time, and it's really motivating too. Kids who didn't take some of my peers didn't take the same thing out of it as you know, majority of the kids.
So as a lobbyist, what exactly did you do? Did you pick a personal issue? Were you working on behalf of a particular interest group or?
Well, in committee, I chose to go and sit in on the social policy group, which interests me the most, which ran through like medicinal marijuana, legalizing gay marriages, all the, you know, kind of social interest, I guess. And what a lobbyist does pretty much has every, like, they can do everything a senator or a representative does except for vote. And when you're in session, I could pull out, you know, a senator off the floor. We have pages, and you can send page notes to senators and say, can you come off the floor for a minute and let me talk to you? And you can, like, try to rub your idea off on them, and they'll go and speak for or against it. Or you can have a senator yield your time and during debate, meaning they'll stand up and say, so-and-so from so-and-so delegation, I'd like to yield my time to lobbyist Lena Davidson. And then I go and say, Lena Davidson, every delegation, I'd like to spend my time speaking for or against it, whatever the case may be. And then you can have your two, you know, you can stand on your soapbox for a while. And then, but the other thing is about being a lobbyist is that you can go back and forth in between the House and the Senate, meaning I could go and lobby on whatever bill I wanted whenever. I was really free to walk around and spend more time on one bill and less time on another, or I could just choose to ignore a bill altogether. But I was chosen to be, our youth governor this year was Sarah Sarchin. I was chosen to be one of her, I don't know, we had a discussion early on in the week, and she decided she wanted me to lobby for her because she was not allowed on the floor to speak for or against a bill. So I went and spoke for her because we shared the same politics.
Very interesting. So you spoke for the youth governor then?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very fascinating. So all in all, I mean, it sounds like you had a phenomenal time.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend it.
Well, so we're setting the stage. This is Lena sharing the story with us in our meeting today, and some of the issues that they covered inspired us to create a show around some of the issues that they discussed. The issues are, some of them, very inflammatory. Some of them are very liberal, and others are very conservative. I want to remind the adults who are listening, and when you hear some of the topics that we bring up, they think, I can't believe that teens are talking about it. Well, you know what? Teens aren't only talking about it, but they are walking through the process that adults do to make these things, to make these issues into laws, to create policies around them that affect all of us. So we're talking with a group of kids that are very familiar with the system and the purpose, and whom I believe can weigh in with some very fascinating insights into these particular issues. Go ahead.
Oh, and not to misunderstand, some people thought that when something passed and was signed through our youth legislature, it does not take effect in real life, quote-unquote. Occasionally, the top three or the top few or the top one that passed, or one of the most influential bills throughout the week that passed and was signed, will be heard on the real legislature. But, you know, just so you know, the bills that were passed, and I do have a list of those and signed, or some of them, they do not take real effect. So don't take offense to... But the best thing I think about youth in government is that once this happens, once this 4 days ends, the state and the officials and people cannot deny that not only, one, do the youth have an opinion and have a way of showing and representing our opinion, but also you have a way to back up that a majority of the youth who choose to represent the youth of Washington State do believe in this or don't believe in that. And that's considering, you know, the cliche, we are the future, you need to be prepared for this going to happen, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No reason to fear information in any case. Here are the issues that we are going to cover. This is just a sampling of some of the issues they discussed during the youth legislature. Let's begin. Over-the-counter medications at school. The issue is that they don't allow them.
Yeah.
No tolerance means no aspirin.
No Advil, no ibuprofen, which is hard in some cases, but what one of the issues with this bill was that it would allow for if morphine was prescribed, you could take that at school. They were worried about abuse of it and such and such. But
we can continue that conversation in a moment. Freedom of expression and student-created literature, basically supporting the right for young people in school settings to share their thoughts without censorship.
Yeah, living up to the First Amendment.
Got it. Public displays of affection. This particular piece of legislation was anti-public displays.
Not quite. I'll clarify that when we get there.
Okay. Lowering the voting age.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was, unfortunately, it did not pass.
And basically, the premise was
that there was two bills that kind of the taxation, making it illegal to tax under 18-year-olds or minors, basically, and lowering the voting age. Just saying, if you're going to be taxed, you should be able to vote, and if you're going to vote, you should, you know, you shouldn't be taxed unless you are voting.
Right. Got it. Women who become pregnant in the military.
That was another controversial bill, which did not make it through committee, pretty much saying that if you are a woman becomes impregnated while in the military, while being waiting to be deployed, you need to be dealt with in a disciplinary manner.
Right. Basically punishing women who become pregnant. Very interesting. Nuclear dumping.
There was one bill on this topic for a dumping site in Washington State. To make it illegal to, actually, I'd have to reread the bill. I think it was making it illegal to dump. Yeah, we have it. Make it illegal to dump here, and we need to have a 5-year cleanup period.
Got it. Restrictions on divorce, essentially.
Yeah, saying you can only get divorced for these reasons, which, it didn't pass.
Right. But there are, basically what they were saying is that you can't, that you have to meet a certain... You had to meet certain guidelines before
it was kind of, yeah, it was kind of like asking, you know, permission from the church to be divorced. It was like there was certain reasons why you could. It wasn't just because two people aren't compatible.
Here's one that speaks for itself. Lowering the drinking age to 14.
That was an upsetting bill for most people there, because not only do youth in government usually get bad press in the first place, but presenting a bill like that, it's bound to get some quote-unquote funny votes, you know, like, yes, let's all vote for it because it's funny.
Right.
Which is, it's bad press, and that did not pass.
Got it. And then gay marriage rights.
That was one of the, that was the most controversial bill brought to the floor. It was the intense one. I'd never seen youth, and I was proud, never, you know, regardless of political view, I was proud to see how many people were passionate about this. There was death threats, etc. It was crazy.
Death threats, even.
There was death threats written to the young man who wrote the bill, who was a gay 16-year-old with a lover or a partner. And that did pass through the House, it passed through the Senate, and it was signed by the governor.
Now, when you say it was signed by the governor, was it signed by...
Sarah Sarchin, our youth governor.
Got it.
And a little neat little fact, the next day after it was passed and Governor Locke was informed that it passed through, there was an article in the Olympian that I read saying Governor Locke changes his tact on gay benefits, which was one of the big arguments about gay marriage, is that tax breaks and benefits are, you know, only attainable under contract.
And the decision that he made affects government employees, isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. And then the final piece to this, which is very... boy, every time I say this, it just sort of turns folks' stomachs. Televised execution on pay-per-view.
That was a sickening bill, in my opinion, that did not make it through. It was in the Social Policy Committee. It did not make it through the committee, but it did raise a lot of eyebrows in the process of presenting that bill.
Very nice. So that was, so basically, we've set the stage to begin a discussion around these issues. I'm going to start with over-the-counter medications at school. Here's what I want to know from the people in the room. Is it even really an issue? Does it matter that you can't bring aspirin to school? Do you do it anyway? Have you had friends that have gotten in trouble for bringing aspirin and those sorts of things to school? Yes.
Okay. To me, it matters because, like, especially for girls, because, you know, girls, when they're at their time of the month, they're in pain a lot of the time because... it hurts. And so I had a friend that brought Pamperin to school, and she got in trouble for that. And I mean...
When you say got in trouble, what exactly happened to her?
She got suspended.
Ah.
And it's not like I would understand if, like, you know, it was some drug, it was unlabeled, you couldn't tell what it was. But Pamperin, they're big fat pills, and they say Pamperin across the front of it. You can't mistake it for anything else.
Got it. So you feel like over-the-counter medication should be allowed at school?
And
prescribed medications as well, right? Isn't that what they're saying, Lena? It was prescribed, or are we talking... Because we're talking over-the-counter. We're not talking morphine.
Yeah. That was one of the mistakes in the bill that we everyone wanted to amend. There were a few bills like that I'll bring up later, like partial birth abortion, that should have been passed, but because of technicalities and the way it was written, or it not being the medical term, or and such, that they could not make it through. So this, in specific, was over-the-counter medicine, which is not the official term, and a pass-through, which left a lot of people wondering whether or not that was a prescription as well.
Got it. Thank you. What do you think?
I bring them with me to school anyways, because I think it's really, you know, stupid. I'd love to see them try to, you know, suspend me for doing it, just because, I mean, I'd still go to school. I just got back in school, and it's just like, you know, like Christine said, he's like, yeah, try going through that, you know, every month without some ibuprofen or anything. I mean, I'd understand, you know, if there's just like a bottle of a bunch of mixed pills and people are just like, you know, what the heck is going on with that?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, I mean, even if they were going to bring doctor prescribed pills, they get to go through the nurse to do that. And if they were found with those pills on them anyways, then that's kind of their fault if they're going to be abusing stuff like that, especially if they're going to be taking drowsy medication at school. That's kind of, you know, not too smart with that one. But I mean, like with Advil and ibuprofen, I bring that to school anyways. And it's just like, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. Because gotcha. It's not like I'm sitting there popping pills during class.
Right.
You know?
I gotcha. Yes, Lena.
Just to let any high schoolers out there wondering how you can get aspirin or Tylenol or ibuprofen to school without being caught, put it in a Pez dispenser. That's what I do.
Oh, you are such a bad child.
Yeah.
Teaching the youth of Snohomish County how to smuggle aspirin into school. You should be in big trouble. John, come up to the microphone. I want to know what you think. I mean, is the over-counter the issue? Over-counter drugs at school not an issue for you?
Not me. I don't use Tylenol or any of that, especially when I have a headache or anything.
Not even that time of the month?
Not even during this time of the month. No, yeah. I bear it out, but no. So, it, yeah. The bloating's awful. Anyways, yeah. So,
And so crabby you get.
I know.
Just, I can't stand it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, anyway.
I'll get over it.
Kidding, we're all kidding.
Yeah,
but anyway, so, but in regards to the concept itself, although you may not find yourself being, having need of aspirin or any of those sorts of things, do you think it's kind of silly that they're not allowing that stuff in school?
I think it's ridiculous, really. I mean, it's over-the-counter drugs. You can go walk into a store and buy them. It's not like there's, it's not like morphine or some odd, you know, something.
Or LSD.
Or some weird thing that you're going to get addicted off of, or Viagra or something. I don't know.
Is Viagra addictive?
I don't know. It's a prescription.
So frightening. All right. Anyway, here's my question. Why would they not allow over-the-counter medications at your school to begin with? Are they afraid that you're actually popping speed or something? Is that the issue?
The argument was that, the argument against it, the bill was to legalize or to make it.
To make it so the kids weren't getting suspended for having an aspirin, right.
The argument was, which I don't even know why this bill was presented, because in the first place it already is, you know. Well, actually, never mind. But the argument against this bill was that kids would abuse the privilege. Well,
what does that mean exactly?
Well, I don't know.
You're taking far too many aspirin.
you're not in pain. You're not in pain.
I don't understand it.
I didn't understand. Yeah.
Are they afraid the kids are going to take some drugs that are
That's illegal in the first place. If kids are going to bring, you can't, you know, justify bringing LSD to school and saying,
but it's thing, over folks, the counter. Adults, I just want to let you know that if kids are not going to be more likely to drop acid or do some other drug because they're allowed to take aspirin to school.
If anything, they'll substitute those headaches with aspirin instead of LSD.
What? I'm sure.
Don't know.
In any case, so I think, are we all agreed on this? I mean, what do you think about over-the-counter medications?
All in favor? Say aye.
I don't know. I mean, do you think it sounds to me like it's pretty ridiculous, and everyone here sort of feels the same. Is there anyone who doesn't feel like over-the-counter meds should be a no? All right. Well, let's move on to the next issue. Freedom of expression in student-created literature. This, I got to tell you, is an issue that has plagued high school students through the ages. Basically, what we're talking about is allowing students to say whatever they want to say about whatever issue they want to talk about in literature that they create or distribute or sell or whatever. Here, we've got the bill right in front of us, and let's see. Student publication policy shall recognize that students may exercise their right of expression within the framework of the given forum, I believe. This right includes expression in school-sponsored publications, whether such publications are supported financially by the school facilities, or are produced in conjunction with a class under the constraints of Section 4 of this bill. Section 4 states students... student publication policy shall recognize that truth, fairness, accuracy, and responsibility are essential in the practice of journalism, and that the following types of publications by students are not authorized. By students are not authorized and are forbidden. There are so many typos in this. Publications that are obscene as to minors, as defined by state law. Publications that are libelous or slanderous, as defined by state law. Publications that constitute an unwarranted invasion of privacy. Publications that so incite students as to create a clear and present danger of the commission of unlawful acts on school premises. What do you think about that?
I honestly, I mean, I'm really for, you know, the First Amendment and stuff, but there's certain, like, you know, when we do class projects and stuff and there's kids that they want to put swear words in their, you know, reports because, oh my God, that's freedom of speech.
Right.
It's just,
right.
It's really ridiculous because there's so many other ways for you to express yourself without making yourself like look like an idiot by using profanity.
Very good point.
And it's just, it really downgrades yourself because people are going to be like, okay, every other word is the F word. So what, are you not understanding like what vocabulary is, you know? It's like when I listen to certain, you know, rap CDs and stuff, it's like, you know, I listen to rap, but every once in a while, it gets really annoying hearing some of the stuff that they say because it's just, there's no real point to it.
Yeah, very, very good point. And I think that it is, to me, about a intent. And I guess there's a part of me that's pretty conservative when it comes to communication. And I think this show is a good example of that. There are just some songs that we won't ever play because of the nature of the song.
Yeah.
It may not have any swear words, but the concepts and the intent behind it don't fit our mission, our vision.
Yeah, and plus, like, not only that, but it's like when kids get mad because they can't say certain things, it's just like it's a way of teaching them that, you know, not everybody thinks like they do, so they have to respect other people's, you know, morals. You know, some people don't like, you know, hearing people swear. Like when you're around your mom, you don't, so lots of times you don't say stuff like that. So, you know, why is it such a big deal that you can't say it, you know, in school or write it in a paper?
Very,
because obviously,
very good point.
You know, you found another way to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Lena?
The thing about this bill was that it wasn't trying to, like, make it legal or okay to swear profusely in a student newspaper, but they won't let controversial articles like something on a gay student at school or this is... or presenting new ideas. That's kind of what it is. I've had friends who wrote articles about a gay student or about, I'm trying to think of the other issue. Oh, the WTO, something that was very, they published some of the articles that were written about WTO, but not the really radical one, which was an opinionated article. It wasn't, you know, representing the opinions of the school. It was just that student's opinion, and they would not publish it.
Did the article suggest that kids should run out and picket the school or cause a bunch of problems?
No, not at all. It was this person's experience at WTO, their opinion on the subject, and how they protested it.
Isn't that interesting?
That's what the bill is written about, and this did pass all the way through. So
this was one of the pieces that made it.
I'm proud of that.
Very nice. Very good stuff. What we're going to do right now, do you have a comment? We'll take your comment, then we'll go to a musical break.
Okay. My opinion on that is that our school paper, I don't really like it that much. But if I were to write a letter to them about how I feel about our school, like, towards me, because now that I have my son, a lot of people, I'll walk down the hall and they'll be like, well, we could just walk by.
So they treat you poorly because you're...
Yeah, and so if I were to write a letter to the school paper, they wouldn't put it in there. I am pretty sure they won't because they don't like to hear about it. But in our last school paper, they put in the opinion section a paper written about how a guy feels towards women anything that bleeds for 4 days, he can't trust.
Ah.
And so I'm a little confused. They
Hold on, that made it into the paper?
That made it into the paper. And every girl at our school was wanting to stalk him and beat him up because that made it into the paper, but my opinion on how the school treats teenage mothers, that won't make it into the paper.
Yeah, there's something going on there, most definitely. There that is very disturbing. Yes, John.
Yeah, I was gonna respond to that thing about the article about the man writing about the women. It was a boy versus girl, two articles about boy versus girl.
Right.
And that was actually supposed to be humorous, though I know a lot of women were offended, but it's supposed to be taken humorously. And I don't know.
I think there are a lot of things that are said in the world that are supposed to be real funny, but you make jokes about certain things, and it's not all that funny. I mean, for instance, that whole issue, the way that it was presented, and the fact that it was presented in the face of other issues that weren't presented, that seems a little skewed to me.
Yeah, and I mean, that I was going to go farther by saying, I mean, that's something humorous, but if you try to deal with something serious, you know, something that'll ruffle a couple people's feathers, that usually our school tries to avoid that. I don't know.
Interesting.
Didn't make me happy.
Yeah.
The difference
yeah.
in between the two articles was that after reading the male's article, which was about probably it was three columns long, and the girl's article was two or something like that. It was very small, and it was defending. I know it was supposed to be written humorously, and there was parts that made me laugh, but in the long run, it was taking a serious subject and trivializing it, and it, even though the school and probably the author meant it in all good humor, it offended. Nonetheless, it was very degrading. And then the other thing was the same reporter, the same author, had another article about him and about how wonderful he is. About how he constantly has hot, beautiful women in a hot tub with him. I mean, so it wasn't like just a single incident. It was a very blatant, almost, you know, how to kind of cover it up with a humorously strike against women in a weird way. But there was other articles that were, you know, revoked or just said you can't publish them. And that was the issue.
Very, very interesting. You know, we're going to continue to talk about this, but right now, Jay is going to inform us who will be playing a song today.
A fabulous song by all our good friend Jessica. It's TLC's Creep.
Jessica?
Yes?
You've picked this fabulous tune.
Yes, mm-hmm. I have.
And why?
Well, I just thought, you know, we should take a little look back a few years to maybe a side of music that we don't play as often.
We don't do a lot of the sort of hip-hop stuff.
And I really like this group. Okay, so they're mainstream. I don't care. This is TLC from the Crazy Sexy Cool album. And this is Creep.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. I'm your host. Today we're talking about many different things. We just ended a discussion on freedom of expression in student-created literature. And it makes sense. I mean, to me it seems like students should be able to express their opinions. Right? Lena, what did you say? Come up to the microphone. Come on, then. This is your show.
I just wanted you to say the phone number.
What phone number?
This phone number to the studio.
Well, share it.
I don't know the number.
It's 742-4541.
742-5451.
No, that's not it. That's not it. Disregard everything that Lena Dewina is saying. It's 742-4541.
What was that, Troy?
742-4541.
What? So call.
Let us know what you think. In addition to that, maybe you're afraid to talk to us, as I often am, and I'm a part of the program. You can also email us, youthvoice@hotmail.com. If something that we've said strikes your fancy, snags your mind, or makes you angry, feel free to share with us your thoughts. Right, Lena?
Yes.
You know, we're going to move on to this next piece. P-D-A. Which means?
AKA Public Displays of Affection.
Now, this is an interesting bill, and I'm looking at the names here introduced by Karen, Lisa, and Lena.
That's me.
So you were a part of this, and your contribution was the diagram, which I'm looking at
now.
Well,
you know what? Let me be completely frank with you.
Please do.
My name's still Lena, but I'll be frank. So this bill, I came into this program late and the bill had already been submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not write the bill,
mm-hmm.
but I did collaborate a little bit on the diagram. And I must admit, this diagram is the only diagram in the bill book for the 53rd State Youth Legislature.
Well, let me share with you, friends, and the radio audience. Let me try to explain to you what this looks like. Imagine a stick figure. With arms and legs and hands and feet.
Disproportionate.
Yeah, it's some odd business going on here. Now, around the hands and feet are squares.
Hand-drawn
around the hands and feet. Around the sort of entire body on the legs to a certain point, the middle of the body, the arms to a certain point, the neck, and all the way around the head are dashes. All right? Does that make sense? Now, there are triangular areas. These areas are around the lips, the chest, and the nether parts. Okay, does that make sense?
The pubic bone area.
The pubic bone area, thank you. So, once again, hands and feet, square boxes. The majority of the body covered in dashes. Triangular areas around the mouth, the chest, and the pubic bone area. Does that make sense, children? Y'all get it? Okay. Basically, this is the law. Triangled areas must not contact other triangled, squared, or dashed areas. Okay? Squared areas must not contact triangled areas. Dashed areas can contact other dashed or squared areas. Squared areas can contact other squared or dashed areas. So essentially what they're doing is coordinating areas of the body that can and cannot touch other areas of another person's body.
Now, if you'd be so kind to read the rest of the bill,
I will do
so. That is demonstrating. Well, no, wait, don't read it. I'll tell you.
Tell us about it, and let's open it up for discussion.
This is not the immediate assumption, which is what initially got it kind of slotted around in the House for a while, or the Senate for a while, was people thought we're trying to completely outlaw it. Like, no, you can't even touch in school. That is not what we're saying.
You know, checking out some of the triangular areas, I think it is probably appropriate to say that at school, triangular areas should not be touching other triangular areas.
And in the bill it says for a prolonged amount of time, which means over 30 seconds. Now, don't think we're going to have a whole new, you know, job description, stopwatch, makeout crew, you know, like,
right.
This is after 30 seconds, which I could start now.
That's a long time.
That's 3 seconds. Now imagine 30 seconds in front of your locker seeing downright nasty, you know, contact. That's 30 seconds.
Because and that happens in school, right?
Yeah, that happens quite often in school.
All right, let's just envision 30 seconds starting now. Smoochy, smoochy.
Grab, grab.
Grope, grope.
Smoochy, smoochy. 10 seconds.
Grope, grope.
Smoochy, smoochy.
Grab, grab.
Grope, grope.
We're at 20 seconds, smoochy, smoochy.
That enough grab. Is enough for a guy.
Jeez. you know, we are in so much trouble. And getting very close to 30 seconds now.
Now stop making out.
That's a long time.
That is a long time.
That seems like too long of a time.
Too long of a
time. To allow triangulated areas to... Yeah. Intermingle,
that
so to speak.
After 30 seconds, it's enforceable by administration, should they choose to, that they must stop. Because right now at the moment, it's legal to streak until someone complains. So this...
Really?
Yep. Go for it. This judge's like... So
consider me... This is sort of a preemptive complaint.
Yeah.
Okay? Just consider me complaining before you even consider it.
So that's what the bill is. Don't think we're trying to completely outlaw it. Not actually, because of... The constitutional majority in the Senate was 45, and because people kept on leaving the floor when this bill, it was obvious majority when voted on, it should have passed, but because somebody called division, which means you need to actually count the people who voted, constitutional majority was not met, even though it was obvious majority. So
basically, there were people who supported the measure.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Everyone but five, but still the amount of people who weren't on the Senate floor did not make up for the difference in between people who voted for and the constitutional majority.
Here's a piece that makes some sense. No public displays of affection shall take place on any school grounds at any time during school or at any school function. So that sort of steps outside of the 30-second period. They're saying, ixnay on the affection A. Right? What do you think, women?
Okay. I think the fact that, you know, squared areas shouldn't touch the triangle areas. I mean, I don't think any hands should be touching any part that a bathing suit covers, as I say in grade school.
Sure, as the, yeah, exactly.
Because
I agree.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to be walking to class and see somebody's hands in a place that it shouldn't be. And I know that not everybody else wants to see that either. And, I mean, it's sad that you should have to say no, that you can't do that. It should just be, you know, in your head. It should be one of your morals that you don't.
People should just understand that when you're in public, people don't want to see you.
You grabbing somebody else's tushy.
Right. Right.
That's not okay. And no. I mean, you know, when you go to a school dance,
my surrounding people and I do stuff, and not just at school, like, you know, other places, and I'm not going to get into that full detail, but you
and
know,
I
now,
thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, now, you know, I've grown up, and it's like, you know, I don't. It bothers me when I'm like going somewhere and I look over and these people are just like going at it right out, you know, right off to the side. And it's really annoying because it's just like, I just find that really disrespectful that they can't wait, you know, just a little bit longer to go find a door.
Or that
like
they
a room
can't
with the
just
door, you know?
Restrain themselves.
Yeah,
I mean
your hormones
been,
can like, you know, wait just a little longer.
I have been at the mall and I have seen young middle school kids smooching on those very, very uncomfortable wire benches that they have. They're very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and
it's really sad.
I want to go up to them and I just want to say, you know what? I just saw your mother walk by and she's very, very angry. I want to say that.
Yeah, and plus I don't see what the big point of making a public defect
display
what a
of affection.
Affection, yeah, that word.
That
I don't see the big point of it. Like, I mean, I used to do it, but I didn't like have a real reason for doing it other than like, you know, this is my man, stay away. You know, so I don't know like if they're doing it because of that or if it's just because like they have something to prove, like, you know, well, I could kiss my girlfriend in front of you guys or something, you know,
which is sort of what it's all about. I mean,
yeah,
they
it's
show
just
off.
Like I don't really see the big deal in that when, you know, you can do your own little thing and you can do more of it behind a closed door. Yeah,
You know, and I guess I just hope that we are spending more, that we would spend, because I know that we're not, that we would spend more time talking with our children about what it is appropriate, what is inappropriate, and helping them to set the boundaries that they will grow up living.
Yes, parents need to talk to their kids a lot more about a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
And I don't think just like the parents, I think like the community and like schools yes. really need to educate kids, because like a lot of stuff that I've gone through and the people I know that have gone through, and we've gone through it because we weren't educated enough on certain things. And it's like, I know parents like don't like to talk about certain things, but they really need to like help their kid out, no matter how like embarrassing it could be, because then they can save their kid a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think definitely there needs to be more parameters set. And I think that as a society, we should feel more comfortable sharing that with kids that we see. Smoochie, smoochie. Yes, John.
Yeah, I got a couple issues here.
Yes.
First of all, that's a funny little picture.
Yeah, the diagram. Very entertaining.
It's cute. I like it. Okay. Anyways, second issue. I like this because it touches on no pun intended. It touches on one of the one of my major gripes at school dances, that is, especially
you have the groping gripe.
That be the bump and grind, the freak dancing, freaky freaky, you know. And I don't like freak dancing. It's just gross. It's like,
when we say freak dancing, basically we're naughty business on the dance floor.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're it's a triangle about, to triangle contact, and, you know, it's much longer than 30 seconds because, you know, songs, 5 minutes, 3 minute songs.
Right,
that's
right.
Quite a bit of triangle to triangle contact.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so, yay. Freak dancing's gross. Go yay. Get a room.
What?
Yay. Good, yay. I like this bill.
Oh, yay to the bill.
Yay
I was
to
like,
the bill. Boo to freak
John's
dancing.
Having a schizophrenic moment. John hates it, but the voices in his head aren't quite sure. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. This bill still, like, you can still hold, like, each other's hand. Like,
you can do square to square.
For the whole day. Like, it's, like, not, so it's, like, and that's pretty socially respectable, and it's.
Yeah.
So it's just the extreme, like, which everybody pretty much disagrees on, like, the touching of the triangle.
Or they agree. Do they disagree?
Well, most people don't like to see that.
Unless, yes, right. Unless they disagree with the triangle-to-triangle contact.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the issue that I want to bring up, my friends. Can you legislate morality, and is that what we're talking about? Can you legislate restraint like this when it comes to the human body? I mean, granted, you can say no knives in held by a square area to touch any other part of another person's body as designated by, you know, RCW yakety yakety. Murder is a bad thing and all that kind of good stuff. But when it comes to human-to-human contact, when it comes to shows of affection and those sorts of things, is it our job as a society to police people in that regard?
That's why we have legislature, because some people are offended by things. And I don't think we need to go to the extreme to say that, you know, it's pretty much things like this just open it up and at the same time still make it enforceable. So it puts guidelines. It's like the whole streaking thing. I think go for nudist colonies. If that's what floats your boat, then float away. I mean, whatever. But at the same time, I would not like to have scattered here and there people walking around naked and it'd be legal, because I think I would, for one, not be able to control my laughter, and two, it would rather taint my view of the human body from there until infinity, so, you know.
Okay, well, I understand that. Yes, John?
I think it's legislature's duty to protect the rights of other people, and a lot of people are offended by the triangle, prolonged touching. And, you know,
okay, but hold on. The rights of other people. So are you saying that I have a right not to be offended?
Well, I mean, you have a right not to be disgusted every day. I mean,
I do? Is that a right of mine?
It's the Ninth Amendment. I don't know. I'm just...
I'm serious, though. Do I have the right not to be disgusted by or disturbed by a concept, an action, whatever?
I mean, so basically what you're saying is that there are certain things that go on in the world that can be disgusting, and I have a right as a citizen to make that illegal. Here's an example. For instance, there's a group of people. You have an answer to that? Did you want to? Yeah, go ahead and answer that, and I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Well, is it your right not to read, like, as the literature freedom? Like, I'm just saying, like, I have to, like, say this, but, like, it's not my opinion, or I'm just...
You're playing devil's advocate, sort of.
Yeah, kind of, like, high school students have, like, we're arguing or for or against the freedom of literature and to write whatever you would wish.
Yes.
And then here we're saying, no, but you can't touch or, you know, show this emotion, but you can write it and show your emotion in writing.
Sure. Okay. So but basically what you're saying is that this law goes against a person's freedom of expression.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a weak argument. But here's an example for John when we're talking about the right to be free from annoyance or free from being disturbed or free from being shocked or any of those sorts of things. I think of a group of people that stand out in front of the courthouse. They've done it here in Snohomish County with pictures of aborted fetuses. Now that is quite disgusting, but quite legal.
Those aborted fetuses people were also at our school a couple of years ago, and
yes,
they were forced off the property.
Off the property, so, which they can do, but it's not illegal to stand across the street or near the school with those pictures. Many, many people find that disturbing, so should we make it illegal?
I think, well, I think that's kind of different. I mean, because...
Is it?
They've made pornography illegal, so I pretty much that's kind of what it is. Here's my question for you:
Does that mean that anything that they've ever made illegal is necessarily right? I mean, everything that now is in law is an effective best use of our legislature and governance of our.
If you're asking me if all the laws are like good, I wouldn't say that, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate because basically what we've done here is we've sort of sectioned off the body like a cow.
That's cute.
And we say, you know, no rump roast for you. And I don't know necessarily if that's fair or appropriate. I'm asking for input.
Yeah, well, as far as, I mean, this... This bill is reasonable. It's not like, you know, some steel-clad chastity belt and required, you know, thing to wear here. I think it's a reasonable measure, and, you know, it protects children from being exposed to this, and it makes sense to me. It works. I'd vote for it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm going to make a comment.
Make a comment.
I think that my analogy to this was stemming back to your comment about do I have a right to not be offended?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, my response to that would be to sort of just use another example, like someone who holds a certain political viewpoint opens a newspaper and looks through it, finds some stuff that they aren't shocked by, you know, like the comics or something like that, but then
sure,
turns to the opinion page and sees something that they totally disagree with and are really angered by.
Yes.
You know, the newspaper has the right to print people's opinions, and if you stumble across something you don't like, then don't go near it. In the same way that you could say in an analogy, like over the course of the day, you know, you go to the supermarket, you do the laundry, you see two people like doing some serious PDA, like, you know, somewhere, then you should just avoid them, you know, or say, you know, if you're stuck there, you know, say what you're doing is making me uncomfortable, rather than saying we're going to create a law, just like. If you see something that you disagree with in the paper, like either, you know, write a letter to the editor or don't keep it near you to bother you. Yeah, that's all.
Very, very good point. Yes, ma'am.
But buying a paper and going to the grocery store, aren't those like kind of different? Like you have the right, like you can not sign up to buy the paper, but... If you need food, you need food, don't you?
Well, then, yeah, I definitely understand that. But I guess to me, it would be the difference. It would be these two scenarios. If you had a couple that basically was chasing you around wherever you went so that they could make out in front of you, that might be an issue. But if they're in the produce aisle and you can move to the
isn't that like a restraining order or something? Can't you get a restraining order
yes,
on them?
Yes, if you had the smoochers chasing you down and you didn't want to see that PDA, but they're following you, and they're on your lawn, they're in the backseat of your car, whatever, you could get a restraining order against them, I would imagine.
Okay. I just like to say that actually I think that I mean you shouldn't like have to. I mean, if you're made uncomfortable by PDA, you shouldn't like have to live your life ruled by fear that you'll see someone expressing a PDA. But I mean, I don't know. Move to Pennsylvania or something like that. It's just a thought. I mean, I'd have to read the bill and think about it. But the example that I gave is just sort of one to think about that might sort of lean against the bill. That's all.
Basically, my personal opinion, and it sounds like we've got varying viewpoints, and that's what makes Youth Voice wonderful, is that we've got some people who say, I'm tired of looking at it, it's got to stop, no more of this PDA in the hallways, I'm tired of it. And then there's the other side that basically says, really, why is it bugging you? And can we actually legislate body parts? I mean, it just seems very odd to me. But, hey, that's okay. We're all... Yes, do you want to add a piece before we move on to the next subject?
Maybe 30 seconds is a little too long, though.
You know, we timed that. That's a long time.
It was a long time.
I mean, that's, you know... And believe me, for me personally, if I saw some teens making out in school, I'd say, get off.
It was kind of...
I think that's the point.
Like, it could almost be like... that would make it legal for kids in school to do that for 30 seconds, though? Like, they could. So it's kind of... But now, can they do that now? I have no...
Well, I mean, I think that there are definitely rules in school that talk about appropriate...
Conduct.
Affection. Appropriate conduct in school. But I also think that there are obviously kids who don't follow those rules. And for whatever reason, haven't had the discussion with the parents where the parents say, this is what we don't do at school.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to this next subject because I think there's a ton here. We're going to skip a few of these, and we're going to talk about lowering the drinking age to 14. Now, I'm flipping in the book here, lowering the drinking age, women pregnant in the military. We're not going to talk about that. Nuclear waste dump, very important stuff, not enough time, divorce restrictions. New Kids on the Block. I don't know what that's about.
Cool.
Making that the official love song or some business. Something about colored ping pongs. And this book is massive, by the way. I'm looking at this book. It is just a massive piece of literature. It's absolutely amazing. What do you think about lowering the drinking age to the age of 14?
I think it's ridiculous. There's a reason that they have it at age 21. And basically, your body isn't even fully developed at age 14. I mean, drinking alcohol when you're a teenager is a lot worse than drinking alcohol at the age of 21 because your body is still developing itself. And all the alcohol does is it's terrorizing your body. It's going to make you, you know, have problems. It's going to damage your liver a lot more. And it's ridiculous. Plus, I mean, you can't even vote till you're 18. What makes you think you can drink at 14? I mean, you're going to be walking around the streets drunk all night? That's just ridiculous, I think.
Okay. Got it. Yes?
I think this is an incredibly irresponsible idea that 14-year-olds should drink because, okay, flat out, yes, I used to drink when I was 14. And I used to go to, like, high school parties when I was in middle school. And just watching the things that went on then and going to high school parties now, it's like it hasn't changed. And for a 14-year-old to be doing stuff like that at so young, it's just really sad because there's like, you know, usually when you first start drinking at 14, you can't handle your liquor. So you're either out in the back porch vomiting or you're passed out somewhere. And when you're 14, you do not want to be passed out at some party with a bunch of people you do not know. Because very crazy people go to parties like that, and you don't know what's going to happen to you.
Right, right.
And it's, like, not like that. Like, aside from your body not being able to handle it, it's just maturity-wise, you're not going to be able to handle it because you're going to want to just drink and drink and drink and drink. And it's just, I really think it's irresponsible because, you know, then you're going to think, okay, it's cool that I can drink, and you're going to keep drinking. And then when you get your license, you're going to drink and drive, and, you know, you're going to cause more accidents. And it's just, drinking at 14 is going to snowball unless you finally, you know, look around and be like, you know, this is really stupid, and you just, like, decide not to anymore.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And with this bill, are we talking about getting drunk or just taking little sips of wine at
dinner? Let me share with you basically what this bill does. It basically strikes 21 and changes the current law to 14 years old. So it is unlawful for any person under the age of 14 years to possess, consume, or otherwise acquire any liquor. A violation of this subsection is a gross misdemeanor punishable as provided for in Chapter Blah Yakety Schmackety. So what they're saying is, 21, you can go out to a bar and get toasted. Now at 14, you can go to a bar and get toasted.
In our society today, most of the people that do drink kind of heavily or do it to get drunk. They don't, there's still people who just do it to casually, you know, to break the ice or whatever. But so, like, other countries, they have, like, at dinner, 14-year-olds or 12-year-olds or 10-year-olds will just drink wine, like, but they, in a...
As part of their dinner.
Yeah, yeah, but not over the bounds of, you know...
That's not to say that youth in other countries aren't getting trashed. Well, I mean, they're going out to bars and they're doing that kind of stuff.
Yes.
For some reason, it is not as much an issue for them as it is for us. Yeah. And I'm not sure why. I'm actually really not sure why. Why in a European country are they drinking and young kids at any age really are having wine at dinner? And I'm certain that happens here. But for some reason in the United States, it's more of a picture of young people binge drinking and drinking until they puke. Or, I mean, so why the difference, do you think?
I think the difference because, like, in, you know, in France and Europe and stuff, they drink with, like, you know, for one, they drink with their food, so, you know, you got stuff absorbing the alcohol. But a lot of time when teenagers drink, they don't drink just for fun. They drink because they don't want to face reality. They're going through really hard times in their lives, and they don't want to be able to deal with it right away. You know, they're using alcohol and drugs as an escape goat, and they realize the longer they stay drunk. Yeah, that, like, you know, they realize that the longer they stay drunk, the longer they don't have to face what's going on.
I need one of those. I need an escape goat, one that can just hop on and just ride out of town.
It really works sometimes, but, you know, eventually you got to face reality, and that's, like, why people, you know, a lot of teenagers, they drink. When they drink a lot, they drink all the time, or, you know, with the drug abuse too, it's just because they, a lot of things they don't want to deal with, or they don't want to deal with right away, and it just, the alcohol makes it worse anyways. So yeah
I agree with what you're saying, definitely. Any other comments, any other discussion around lowering the drinking age to 14 years of age? Yes,
it didn't pass. That's what I'm proud of.
And if you're just tuning in, I mean, there are people right now thinking, what? Because they're just tuning into the radio show. I want to share with you that this is Youth Voice on 90.7 KSDR, and we are talking about legislation that was brought to or talked about, discussed, and voted on at the Youth Legislature in Olympia last week, right?
Yeah. And this.
Are you all right?
Yes. That was just a couple funny moments. I'm okay. This is one of the bills brought to the table, is lowering the drinking age to 14. There was a couple irresponsible bills like this. That the problem with bills like this is only because of bad press, in my opinion. You know, in some ways, there is a New Kids on the Block bill, try to make a New Kids on the Block, I'll Be Loving You Forever song, the national love song.
Yeah, we'll
there was one to you know get make it illegal to produce white ping pong balls, and, you know, there was a toilet seat bill, and, you know, there was a couple funny ones that had arguments behind them, and those were good to release tension on the floor,
right,
in a sense. But a bill like this, which is irresponsible, it's just bad press, and it's
gotcha.
Not healthy. Yeah.
So, and basically, it sort of paints the wrong picture. An article, a new reporter can basically report, you know, teens got together in the legislature today and discussed lowering the drinking age. I mean, it sort of demeans a little bit of what you're doing here.
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, it didn't make it past committee. If it had made it past committee, then it would have gotten bad press.
Got it. Very interesting. Any other final comments, before we move on to gay marriage rights? All right. Boy, we got everybody lining up for this one. What do you think?
This was, like I said earlier, the controversial bill of the year. This bill had so much impact on so many people that made it through committee, my social policy committee. I was really proud. I am personally all for it. I'm all for it. It made it through the House after a very passionate day of discussion, and it made it through the Senate, and it was signed by the governor. Now, one of the strong arguments against it was that it was just for tax breaks, and that they're trying to redefine the word marriage, which has been an institution for thousands of years, and they shouldn't redefine it. They were saying that they're only doing it for money, they're only doing it for the tax breaks and the benefits, and that if it's all just about love, then they don't need a contract. Well, in my opinion, if it's all just about the love, then heterosexual couples do not need to be married under a contract of law, and they don't need the tax breaks and all that jazz. And so I'm all for it. This was one of the best. There was three in the bill book for pro-gay marriages, but this one was the best one, and this bill was based on sexual discrimination, which discrimination has plagued our world for thousands of years, and we have gotten rid of it. And in the Constitution, it says it was changed, it was amended to say that not all men, it means all men, all race, all gender, all minorities. Gay, lesbian, and bisexual, transgendered people are a minority. Now, if you deny them a right, you are denying them a right that in the Constitution they deserve. So I'm all for this bill, and it did pass and sign, and I'm, you know, everyone was so passionate about it when it was passed through the Senate. We were jumping up and down. A couple of people started crying. It was great. So, yay.
So what about the opposition, though? You told me that this was one of the most passionate ones, to the degree that there are people making death threats.
Oh yeah, we have a thing called page notes, and people were abusing them. There was quite a few very conservative people, and actually the Senate is the one that people were worried about. Because we had a very split Senate, and that half the people were very conservative, half of them were very liberal. And there were some people who were very angry that this bill had made it through the House and that it had made it into committee in the first place. And it was a young gay man who wrote this, which was one of the more
inflammatory
striking
issues.
Things. Yeah. So, and he lived up to it, you know, stereotypically, in that you could tell he was, for the most part, he was a gay man. And it made a few people very, very angry. And there were a few death threats. And, you know, pardon, this is not my belief, or this is not reflecting the belief. There were people calling him a faggot, etc.
Very interesting. Very interesting. It's unfortunate to think that a bunch of kids who gathered together to explore the system in a mature way would turn to that sort of violence and intimidation. I mean, that's just really frightening. Yes, ma'am.
In my opinion, you don't ask to love the people that you love. It's not like I can walk down the street and go, he's cute. I think I'm going to love him. It's just like it just happens. You can't control it. And by saying that, you know, you can't marry this person because you're both of the same sex is ridiculous. Because, I mean, they're people. They should have the same rights as every other person. And by saying that, you know, they get a tax break by getting married, well, that's not the reason for doing it. I'm sure, you know, heterosexual people, I'm sure they do the same thing. Like on the show Will and Grace, Rosario married Jack so that way she could stay in the country. I mean, it happens with heterosexual couples, too. It's not just going to be a homosexual type of thing.
Got it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I totally agree with these people. You know, it's just like, I know part of the reason why people have a huge problem with gays is like, because of religion, they think it's this evil, evil thing. But I don't think you know, it's not like gay people are out there saying, yeah, be gay, it's the coolest thing in the world. But, you know, then religious people turn around and say, you know, try to push their beliefs on, you know, gay people, and gay people don't try to push their beliefs on them. You know, I mean, they're happy. What's so wrong with them being happy with, you know, the person that they're with, regardless of sex or color or, you know, deformities or anything, you know? And I mean, just as long as you're not, I mean, I look at it like this, just as long as I'm not getting hit on by these people or I'm not like watching them make out in public, you know, I have no problem with it because they're happy and that's their life, not mine.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
I just had a couple of things that occurred to me. Does this bill, like Lena, does this bill allow people legally to get married, or does it give them the benefits of marriage, like including the certificate, but, you know,
basically without... I'm reading it right here. It basically says, regardless of the gender of the parties, persons of the same gender have the right to enter into a civil marriage contract in the same manner and with the same force and effect as persons of the opposite gender.
One of the things was that in Vermont, they had passed a bill like this, but they did not call it marriage. They call it civil union. So it wasn't one of the opposing views was that they were redefining marriage. But in Vermont, it's called civil union, not a marriage. But this was redefining marriage in Washington state.
Got it.
Oh, okay. So this bill was a little bit more radical than the one that happened in Vermont. Well, all right. Then I think, you know, this seems to be a pretty good idea, in my opinion. I mean, we've had several good opinions speaking out in favor of this bill already, so I won't rephrase that. But I'm just curious now then, how would you guys feel about a gay couple's PDA? If we were just talking about how, I mean, some people here expressed the opinion that, you know, we can't restrict PDA. Other people said that, you know, we have the right not to be offended. How would you guys feel about a homosexual couple's PDA?
When we talk about PDA, we're talking about public displays of affection. You see two people of the same sex making out somewhere in the grocery store, or that's the stalker couple that's following you around or whatever. How do you feel about that? Make you uncomfortable? Make you more or less uncomfortable, or the same?
Yeah, that's my only question. I mean, personally, I mean, I have a lot of friends of various personality types and sexuality types. So, I mean, it wouldn't bother me, but I'd just be curious as to how other people would feel about it.
Let's hear it.
Well, I don't like seeing PDA in heterosexual couples, so you can assume that I wouldn't want to see it in homosexual couples either, so.
Got it. Thank you. Yes.
Well, you know, people are going to be gay. People are going to be gay, whether it's a law or not, and people are going to have PDA heterosexual and homosexual couples, and to me, it doesn't bother. I would rather not see people groping on the sidewalk regardless of the gender pairing, but in the long run, I love to see a gay man holding hands. I love it. I think it's like out and about and proud of it, you know, like I'm like all for it. Go for it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, I don't like seeing anybody sit there and make out.
Right.
And it has the same effect on me when I see like a lesbian couple making out that it would a heterosexual couple. I mean, on my birthday this year, my parents took me out to eat, and I was sitting in a booth, and in the booth right in front of me was, you know, a lesbian couple making out most of the time. And I'm just sitting there just kind of like trying not to look at them because that's the polite thing to do. And it just had the same effect on me that anybody else would. It was inappropriate, and I didn't want to see it. So it's, yeah, I should.
But the same would be said for anybody, a heterosexual couple that was doing the same thing, right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with her. Also, like, just a little thing is, like, most of the guys I know, they would love to see two girls go at it, but they'd hate to see two guys go at it.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah, and, well, because I know a lot of the guys, and they're, like, serious about it. And, you know, I mean, I just think that's kind of wrong that they're going to be like, well, it's okay that they do it because they're girls, but the guys can't do it. And, I mean, you know, I just don't like seeing people make out. And but also another thing is, you know, when kids are in school and all these hate crimes are going against them because they're gay, and then, you know, the schools are like, you know, that's wrong, you shouldn't do it because, you know, they're just them being themselves. But then when they reach the age to where they want to get married and they can't, but it's just them being themselves. You know, when they were younger, it was okay because, you know, they were minors, they were having people make fun of them. But now that they're adults and it's not okay, even though people are still making fun of them, and they're still being themselves, you know? So, I mean, I don't think age should make the difference as long as, you know, they're still being true to themselves and are proud of what they are and have no problem with it. I mean, they're happy. Just let them do what they want to do, you know?
Right. Got it. Thank you.
All right. I just sort of like to chime in on the argument that I mean, some conservatives against a bill like this, the argument would be like, you know, they can love each other but don't take tax breaks for that. You know, don't take tax breaks for your love or something like that. I just like to say that, I mean, if a couple can't be in civil union, I mean, for instance, if one partner is in the hospital, the other one and is in like intensive care, or the other partner can't see them unless they are family.
Right.
You know, or if they aren't married and, you know, the doctor maybe cops a conservative attitude to it, you can just say, well, no, you're just like, you know, you're just like a boyfriend or you're just a girlfriend or something like that. You know, you can't come in here.
Right.
Or, you know, if one partner dies or gets sick, all the insurance money or their inheritance, I mean, it would just be as if the other partner didn't exist if they weren't in civil union with each other. And like, for instance, if a couple has been living together and one of them is better financially off than the other and dies, all the money that the wealthier partner had would go back to their family rather than like having some sort of sharing plan like there would be if they were married.
Right. Very good points. A very volatile issue. A lot of folks against this and a lot of folks for it. It will be interesting to see the effects of the Vermont decision and how that sort of, I mean, because basically if you're married in one state, I know, but if you're married in one state, can the other state deny it? Can the other state say, well, maybe, you know, you're not in Vermont anymore?
Well, if they do move, it will not be... It will not be recognized as a marriage, but it would be you would still, because everything legally was documented in Vermont, it would still be, you'd still have the same benefits, but not, you wouldn't have the tax breaks in Washington. But I just like to just say this. It was passed. It's been passed in they're trying in Colorado. It's getting huge favoritism, and it would do so much. Now, this is more of a, I'm going to say this not in a, meanwhile, this is more of a Republican view, this is a good thing for a Republican, that this would be really good for our economy, and that if we allowed this, you know, we have one of the largest gay community, 10% actually, I think it is, or 2% or something in the state of Washington, 2 or 10, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact number, they're close enough, that if we allowed... If we allowed, people would move to Colorado. I know gay couples who will move to Colorado if it passes to get married. Now imagine, we have such a huge gay population. If we legalized it, how many people would feel comfortable living here and marrying here and stuff? And it says in the Bible, and I'm sorry to quote this, but do not judge or thou shalt be judged. Do not condemn or thou shalt be condemned. If you bring your religion into it in any way in your mind, just know that is not our place. If that's what you believe, it's not our place to say you can't do this because God doesn't want you to.
Thank you. Got it. Very, very interesting discussion. We're going to move on to the next one because we're running out of time. But before I do that, I want to talk about an event that's coming up. You want me to do it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do it. Okay, here it is. It's Green Funk. Green Funk fact sheet. Basically a benefit concert organized by and for teens. Those are always the best kind, and essentially they're going to raise money for Washington Wilderness Coalition. That's Saturday, May 20th, year 2000, from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. The doors open at 1. It's at the Pop Keeney Stadium, and that's in Bothell, just off Bothell Way. Basically, it is it's North Shore YMCA Earth Service Corps. Boy, the Earth Service Corps is a great group of kids that are out there making a difference in the community. It's a partnership between the YMCA and the North Shore School District. It's organized almost entirely by teens. They have environmental speakers. They have environmental and social resource tables to educate community the community that'll be there. Performing bands include Delure, Akimbo, Vermilion, Yosarian, Local Buddha, and Revolving Jugglers. Pretty darn cool. And why? Well, it's to raise money for the Washington Wilderness Coalition and to help protect and preserve wildlands, to raise awareness in teens and their community about environmental issues affecting them, and to draw a large crowd of teens in their community to support
this cause and event. Pretty cool stuff. And if you have any more questions, there are definitely tickets. But if you have questions about that, you can call Kelly Ross at the YMCA Earth Service Corps at 425-485-9797. That's 425-485-9797. Are you raising your hand because you have a question? Yeah, do you want to come up to the microphone? You got to come up to the microphone.
If I don't say the place, can I?
No.
Okay, can I promote something else then?
Well, you can't talk. You're not even on the microphone. Okay. Dear. Welcome to live radio involving.
Well, I know, but I wanted to ask before I got on here so that you didn't start yelling at me.
Because you know me, I like to yell.
Yeah.
I like to yell and scream.
Well, I can promote one thing, though, because it
what?
Is. It is. Okay, my business, Head First Production.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a side organization, which is called PAVE. Mm-hmm. which is People Against Violence Everywhere.
Nice.
And for PAVE, we do a lot of non-profitable shows. We do charity shows to where, you know, like if
wonderful.
You show up, you like don't, like all the profits go to, I don't know, like homeless shelters and like the Boys and Girls Club. And
right.
That's one of them is towards the end of this month, we're going to be doing a show at the Boys and Girls Club, hopefully. I don't know the exact day, but when we're doing it, No, I'm not going to say ticket prices. It's okay. No, I'm just saying, you know, when we do it, I will give the exact date, but mostly what you'd have to do is just bring, like, food.
Wonderful, wonderful.
For us to donate, and any money
so
that
they
get goes to the Boys and Girls Club.
So basically you're promoting an event that we have no information about.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it's towards the end of the month. It's like we still have to talk to them. They're being really iffy, and so I'm hoping that, like, if anybody from there hears this, they're going to be like, ooh, you know, maybe we should. Just
maybe
because,
we should
know.
Because they talk about it on there.
Because, you know,
put
I mean, it's non-profitable, and it's, you know, I mean, it's any money that we make from it is going into the Boys and Girls Club.
Right,
the
right.
Food's going to be donated to the Volunteers of America Food Bank. And, you know,
nice.
It's like we're not getting anything from it. It's just from our...
Just good stuff for the community.
Yeah, it's our side organization, and so...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to more news on that.
Yeah. Okay,
I want to refocus the conversation because we have about 7 minutes left in the show. Here's my question for you. Televised executions on pay-per-view. Now, that came up, and Lena, can I borrow you for a minute? Because I just... Did someone actually bring this up as an issue to discuss?
They did. It was in my social policy committee, and it was the most disgusting thing, and they were very serious about it. It was not
They
a
were
joke.
Serious in what regard?
Like, they thought that it would not only be a deterrent for criminals. Well, I'm sorry. If you're a criminal mind, watching this would maybe even arouse that criminal side of you, saying somebody's dying on TV, cool. And it's not going to act as a deterrent in my mind, but it would also, it's crazy. They presented it like it was a good idea, and the money made from it would go to the cable company. You shouldn't profit off of somebody's death. There was a fetal tissue bill. I'm trying to make it illegal to sell fetal tissue because you shouldn't be able to profit off of someone's life. It's the same thing. Their argument was that it would be a deterrent, it would be profitable, and you could take money back into the correctional facilities because of it. And but it was a serious bill. I did not pass through committee. It was one of those bills that people just heard and thought, God, that's disgusting. That's
why would
just
you even? Yeah,
disgusting.
Why would you even?
We already have enough violence on TV.
What
we
would
don't
they
need
think?
It to
I mean,
be
what
real.
Was they thought that it would lower crime because people would be able to see what
they,
goes
and
on?
And only between 9 and 1 a.m. Well, I'm sorry. There are 4-year-olds awake at 9 a.m.
Oh, please.
And adults aren't prepared. I am not prepared to see someone die on TV. I was freaked out enough reading Silence of the Lambs, which I read again because it was interesting. But that's not my point. That was not good for my argument. But,
I love Youth Run Radio.
That's right. But our minds are not prepared for that. And trying to make it was just stupid. It's
Got
not
it.
Natural.
All right. Thanks, Lena. Other opinions? And quickly, please, because we're fast approaching the end of the show.
I don't understand how seeing somebody die on television is going to help deter crime at all. If anything, it's going to be somebody's going to sit there and go, oh, cool, they're killing somebody on TV. Hey, I can do that. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, people shouldn't be able to profit off of anyone else's pain and suffering. They shouldn't be able to profit off of seeing somebody else's life extinguished, I mean, in front of thousands of viewers.
Got it. Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly twisted. I just... like, you know, what's, I don't remember the exact name of the show that they did. They did it like 20 years ago, and they just recently did it again on MTV where they took a bunch of the delinquent kids and they brought them into, yeah, Scared Straight. Crime hasn't gone down because of that, you know? And I mean, they took the kids into the jail, you know? They made the, well, into the prison. You know, people watched how the prisoners reacted to the kids, and they saw how the kids reacted to the prisoners, and some of the kids still didn't even stop what they were doing. So how is, like, watching someone die for the crime they did going to help you anymore?
I agree. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everybody here. It's just sick that that people would want to sensationalize death. I mean, life is, I mean, it's holy. I mean, and people, no matter what crimes they've committed, they deserve that final dignity to at least not be turned into some public spectacle where people pay $45 to watch them die. That's just sick. And, I don't know, that's wrong.
Yep, I agree. I agree with that.
Okay, I have a couple of interesting little comments. Dan Rather, actually, a fairly progressive guy for the national journalism community, actually got into an argument with Ted Koppel about Dan Rather wanted to televise an execution of a convict on death row in the late 80s, and as an anti in his believing that executions was bad, he thought that if they could, like, broadcast the program in a very sort of solemn way and say, look, I mean, this is the reality of what the state is doing. They're actually killing this person.
Right.
He thought that that would actually serve to upset people to say, wow, our tax money is really going to make this guy die. And galvanize people, galvanize support for ending the death penalty. Whereas Ted Koppel felt that who supported the death penalty felt that putting it on TV would just sensationalize it. So, I mean, there's arguments that can be made for and against this from the position of being pro and anti-death penalty, actually. And I think that, I mean, I think that pay-per-view executions are bad, but I think that if people are going to get this upset about showing an execution on TV, then, I mean, you have to consider the amount of violence that's on TV already. I mean, like, you know, the USA Network, I mean, has, like, a body count of hundreds a day, you know. And I mean, you know, I think we need to think about the violence that we're showing people that's fictional already.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that because I was thinking in my mind, what is the difference between somebody getting electrocuted in a, you know, being executed in a show? They did have that sort of fake, real execution sort of deal a few years back. And what's the difference between that and seeing it actually happen? Granted, one's fiction, one's not, but this suggestion is still there. The idea, the visual sort of deal is still there. And do you think people are really going to discern between, I mean, this violence is okay, that violence isn't? I don't know. I mean,
well, I mean, I'd sort of say that the lines of what people, I mean, the lines between someone showing someone something that says, like, you shouldn't do this, you should do this, you should just observe this, or you should see this for entertainment. Those lines are blurry enough already, even before you throw in, like, execution.
I absolutely agree. Boy, we could talk a long time on this particular issue, but unfortunately, we're out of time. No more Youth Voice for us. I want to thank Jay, and I want to thank Jessica, and I want to thank Nate. Oh, because you're just hopping on, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're done now.
I know.
Absolutely, but the good news is...
Goodness.
You can all continue to listen to the station because up next is our good friend Dave Moody and Pastures of Plenty. He's going to play some rockin' tunes for you, as he is often wont to do.
Woohoo!
Absolutely. Youth Voice is a lively, weekly, youth-run radio talk show. We come to you every Sunday from 4:30 to 6 o'clock. We hope you've enjoyed the show because we've sure enjoyed putting it together for you. We're out of here. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week.